All right, we are back for episode 153 of Digital Divination.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, gentlemen.
That is a number.
Yes,
it is a number.
It is. We have no disclaimer, no countdown, no nothing.
Nothing.
That's it.
I'll tell you all. I'll look just for everyone to know that this very afternoon, before we started recording, I just sat down for a very long session for a friend of mine's birthday, run by another friend of ours. Several hours. At the end there, we fought the Tarrasque. It was a one-shot, 18th level, PF2 one-shot situation where we took characters that we maybe had played before or in previous APs, or for me, as a do a lot of GM, I pick someone else's character who isn't playing with us anymore and play that, bumped them up to 18. And so it was fun.
Yeah.
Did you coordinate at all, or did everybody like, I'll play my favorite character, me too, and everybody brings monks?
And no, there was some coordination. We actually picked like different, someone picked their Council of Thieves character, and someone picked their Skull and Shackles character. I picked the Jade Regent character, and Carrion Crown character. You know, like it was all sort of other APs. So it was good.
Oh, but you PF2'd them even if they were PF1.
Yes, exactly.
Campaigns.
Yeah.
I see.
From the past like 20 years or something like that we've been playing. Wow. Pathfinder, wow. Pathfinder 2. Yeah.
So does that mean you're done then because you've completed?
No, but these characters, this is like a sort of offshoot from what's happening with the our main campaign, which is also PF2, but not an AP that was written. It's an AP being sort of, run by the GM, written by the GM, right?
Okay.
Where just like Galarian is getting all messed up from stuff. Just like, it's an apocalypse. And now those six characters that we played, the GM was like, okay, well, you'll never be able to access these characters ever again. It's like locking them off. Because we had the Tarrasque and the gods came down and says, we got to chain the Tarrasque down. Rovagog can't get free. You all have to stay here and watch over the Tarrasque from here until the end of time. So like, I was like, okay, sure.
Did you bring a deck of cards? That's all I want to
say. No, sadly, I didn't.
But it's like pulling. That's actually kind of sweet because you get to revisit some old characters and be like, these are the ones who are sacrificing themselves and their futures to keep everything locked away.
Yeah, it was nice.
How
so that's
long?
Why I was late to the recording.
How long was the Tarrasque battle?
The Tarrasque battle was like 1.5 rounds. It did take about at least an hour to play through. And then we had some other fights before that where it took a couple of... we had never run these characters before. They're 18th level. And so we're just sort of getting used to what... And or if they, we're in PF2, so it's different different system, getting used to that and stuff like that. So... And we had a person who... A player who had not played with us in a very long time, the GM's wife, who had never played PF2. So she's coming in with an 18th level character, first time touching PF2. I had to
that is
her.
So intimidating.
It was very intimidating.
We have my Strength of Thousands campaign where they're up to 17th level now, and they still find it kind of intimidating for all the stuff their characters can do. But they just start at the top and do stuff. I had one of my players in a fight, big fight, ton of foes, and cast Meteor Storm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was just, they did more than 700, but less than 750 points of damage, like spread out among the battlefield. Yeah. Dropped nobody, but injured a lot of people. And
I had to create some high level characters for things I was working on, and they are just are monsters, high level monsters, and they're just big bags of hit points, man.
Yeah, so many hit points.
And resistances and DRs. Yeah. And it's like, but when the characters get that high, they can take them.
They can dish it out. Yeah, I mean, like.
I was looking at the Alien Corps just earlier today and looking at some very high level monsters there. And it's almost like, and casually as a single action can also whip out 12d8 damage to an entire group of people.
100%.
No big deal. Like, as like an appetizer to the main course of pain it's about to bring.
That Tarrasque was critting everybody. Like even the paladin, even the champion with the highest AC possible, just critting every time it hit. Almost every time it hit. Luckily that time, I didn't get crit once by the Tarrasque. It was by 1 point each time.
So oh boy.
50, I'm like, armor class is 41, so that's just a regular hit.
Wow.
It was nice.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, I've called you together tonight to discuss something very important.
Yes. Serious faces.
Very serious. So I've been going through the release schedule for Starfinder. And pretty much between now and the end of March, it looks like we have maps and society scenarios. And I'm thinking that I would like to take a hiatus until April, where I'm hoping they'll be announcing some of the stuff that's being released at Gen Con.
Yeah. I mean, we talked a little bit about, there was a little bit of like a brief mention of what might be coming out, but you know, not a lot of information.
Right. Yeah. And I just went by the official release schedule and
yeah,
you know, they'll probably start announcing some things down the road. You know, it's a couple months from now.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've been hitting lately some non-Starfindery topics, mostly because, you know, there hasn't been, you know, a lot of releases. When we do get a good release, you know, when something comes out, you know, when Alien Corps came out and The Adventures came out, you know, we do get a lot of interest in those things. We definitely want to keep talking about these releases when they come out. We could talk about maps and society play, but
you know,
it's a little tougher on
that. Yeah.
So if that's okay with you all, that's kind of what I'd like to do.
If it's okay.
Oh, that's
yeah.
I mean,
I'm going to sit here every other Sunday night and talk into the microphone, but no one's going to, it's not going to be recorded. So
no. Well, we could still talk if you want every other Sunday night. We'll just do more of this talking about Trask fights rather than.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
You know,
there might be, it might take until April for all I know for me to be able to report back that my Guardian PC in my Pathfinder Second Edition game has gotten back up to full hit points. It has not happened yet.
Nice.
And we've been playing for quite a while. We're into second level now. And.
Wow.
The amount of hit points you gain for leveling up just add to your current.
Yeah, right.
So
yep.
I'm still not at full.
It's funny.
Well, in the meantime, I think we might try some different things. You know, I'm busy writing, so that's kind of a fun and exciting thing for me. Yeah, I was saying offline, since the end of September into October, in addition to my day job, which arguably doesn't keep me very busy because I just teach.
Although if you're John's boss, you did not hear any of that. That's distraction.
Yes. Well, they want me to come in a third day to sit around and talk, to socialize. That's kind of so I was like,
interesting.
You're like, excuse me, I get my socialization on Sunday evening every other with Jaron and Jason. Thank you.
But I've had two pretty big, you know, game design, freelance game design stuff, contract things I've been doing nonstop, you know, for Paizo, for somebody else, you know, basically three different companies I've been working with nonstop here. And it's going to go through until at least February with two of them. One of them's going to go all the way till April. And then I have somebody waiting in the wings in February. As soon as I get free, I keep telling, you know, he's talking to me and I said, well, I can't do it now. And he says, worst case when? I said, April. April's worst case. Best case is end of January, most likely sometime in March. He said, well, why don't you contact me in into January and we'll see where it's at. And I've had to put him off three times. I keep recommending other people that could do the same work, but he keeps coming back to me. So it's like,
I was just about to point that out. One of the important things once you're doing freelance is to pay attention to two things. First, your network. Who else can you recommend to do stuff have them recommend stuff to you? And secondly, be well aware of the limitations you have. Everybody crashes at some point, and the more you can get kind of a horizon to that and schedule your load such that you're not overextending yourself, the better. So
yeah.
I salute you on both counts, John.
Well, I've kind of learned where I can be with stuff at this point. I don't want to get overextended and, yeah, I'm no Ron Lundeen. I can't just crank out thousands and thousands of words.
Whoa. Ron Lundeen is overdue on a 4,800 word assignment as we speak. So,
yeah.
Don't take me as an example.
Yeah, one of the things I found, especially when I'm starting off with folks, is, you know, if I churn out a whole lot of stuff and it's on time and on spec,
You're going to get asked to do more.
They want me to do more because there's all these other people that apparently aren't. So, and then they recommend me to other people to do stuff. And so that's kind of what's happening. So I'm pretty excited about that. And then, you know, there's this project that Ron and I had been talking about for, I think, since Gen Con. I think that's when we started talking about it, in August-ish. Kind of a new podcast where we give tips and tricks for people who want to get started.
Very focused, very bite-sized. Right,
yeah, 8 to 10 minute kind of clip. We'll say 8 to 10 minute videos on how to do specific things to get started in the gaming industry. And this kind of stems from a seminar that both of you were kind enough to come and attend at Gen Con, where I had interviewed 100 people and they gave advice and talked about how they got started. And I kind of compiled this list of things and I started thinking, you know, there was a lot of interest in that. We had the event actually was sold out, though we only had like probably 40-ish people in the room. So not everybody showed up that.
Good turnout.
So a lot of interest in that. And there's always panels on this at cons and things. And so I thought, you know, it'd be kind of neat to put together some focus videos. So if people were interested in a specific topic, they could search through and find it. And in addition to the kind of the design part, it just so happens that Ron's a lawyer and I'm a professor in marketing and entrepreneurship. So we actually cover a lot of ground in addition to game design that is kind of relevant for starting a business and starting in with this, you know, type of thing. So that's kind of one of the other things I'd like to get going. And I think in a couple months that we're on hiatus, we can get a good running start on that and hopefully, kick it off. I don't know. I'm hoping around summertime, maybe. I don't know. Maybe sooner.
Yeah, great.
So I don't know. We may get back before then. I think that the April is a good bet. I know that Paizo releases news about what they've got coming up on their Paizo Live Twitch streams.
Right.
And that's always, it's entertaining to see that kind of frantic shuffle behind the scenes and then see it actually happen. And it always goes off much better than the frantic shuffle behind the scenes makes it seem. So it's a real testament to the people that organize that and get everybody together for that. But that'll be where some news comes. And maybe we can take some news that hits in a couple of months and then go from there.
Yeah, that's kind of the plan.
Definitely. Yeah, that makes sense.
But we still have our Intrepid Heroes. Murder in Metal City campaign. We're going with that. And probably after we're done with this adventure, we'll pick up another one. And maybe Ron might be available then. I don't know how busy
I might be able to come back. Yeah. A lot of my biggest time that has eaten up a lot of my time is supposed to be tailing out end of March-ish, maybe even mid-March-ish. I know that you guys are rolling through that. I think I've told you. I don't know if I told you on the stream that I listened to. I've been listening to Murder in Metal City, and it's hilarious. In my mind, I think I thought someday I might want to play this, so I don't want to listen too close to an actual play podcast for it, and I don't want to read it. But for a lot of reasons, some work-related reasons, I actually read through Murder in Metal City. I actually read the thing because I was on a plane and it was very digestible as on a plane flight to have the box set with me and look, okay, what does this contain and what are the different steps of the investigation and what does it do? I'm like, oh, this is, well, now I'm really excited to hear what my friends are doing when they go through this. So then I then I started listening to the Murder in Metal City actual play that Intrepid Heroes are doing, and it's great. If you are one of the people who, for some reason, would much rather hear John and Jason and Ron blather about stuff, but not hear the actual play, you ought to try it.
Nice plug.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you, Ron.
Yeah, you know, so we have the, you know, I have the box set as well, and I haven't read through it because I'm playing it, and but I might want to run it sometime if you're interested in playing it.
Feel free to, I mean, not yet, but just for you, John, but Ron, you've read it, so I am taking some liberties. Ron will notice that, but like when you go ahead and read it, John, you'll see okay. The kinds of liberties
kind,
that I've
kind of
I've
liberties, okay.
That kind of that I've taken, but just to sort of like, you know, for actual play, for keeping it under your and an hour-ish a session, that kind of stuff, just to keep it moving.
Yeah, no, for sure.
There's a lot. Yeah, I think there's a lot of that I'd steal. And the every, I will say, I haven't listened to a ton of actual plays, but the actual plays I've listened to, when I then later run the thing I did the actual play of, I will a lot of the time do it the way I heard on the actual play because I'm like, oh, that went really, really well. Let me try that at my table too. Yeah. So I had thought, I mean, I have to admit for a while, I was kind of snooty about it. I'm like, why would I listen to actual plays? I know how to run stuff, but no, there's a lot you can learn watching other people, not just play, but run something that you're planning on running, different ways to approach something that's like a thorny part of the plot, or an interesting NPC interaction that you can just take and run with and make your own. So Murder in Metal City has taught me, continue to teach me that. Thank nice. You. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, like when I was doing a lot of the development on Starfinder Venture Paths, I was always also listening to Cosmic Crit podcast. Shout out to the Cosmic Crit podcast. And getting a lot of like, okay, this is how this is running. How, you know, knowing how it was written and how it's written in the book and how it's being run, and like, oh, well, how can we change something like that for the next one? And sort of asking that, and to the point where I even asked that GM to write a volume of an AP for me.
Oh, really?
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Yeah. He wrote the first of the Attack of the Swarm.
Oh, I know that because I ended up using a lot of that first adventure in my sixth adventure because it's. You circle right back to it. Yeah, oh, that was fun.
Yeah. And it, I think that turned out pretty great. Hey, APGMs, they can be great.
Yeah. On actual plays. Yeah. Actual plays.
Actual play GMs. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause there's two APs. You got it's, AP.
Yeah. That's another
AP
thing.
Of actual play plays. And AP. Okay. Yeah.
And adventure paths. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Pretty cool. Anyway. So that's kind of what I had to talk about. What do you guys have planned for the, you know, couple months off then?
I'm trailing out the thing that's got me really busy.
Yeah.
That I was just talking about. The thing that has kept me from joining awesome things like Murder in Metal City, Intrepid Heroes, actual play, app. Anyway, the actual play, the adventure. No, I think that that's been good. I had a lot of initial interest when I left Wizards of the Coast. I had a startling number of people be like, oh, hey, Ron, now that you can freelance, how about doing this thing for me? Maybe we can get started up again. And I didn't take very many of those. And it turned out I took too many of those regardless. So I'm still finishing up on some of those, or actually even waiting to start something that I promised on some of those. And it's been several months. So I feel like that's going to keep me pretty busy altogether for the next couple of months before we can dig in here.
Yeah. I don't have as much Paizo freelance on my plate currently. I mean, it's been like a kind of almost been, it's not 100% new, but it's been almost a year since I finished writing on Hellbreakers, which was a big, huge thing. But then I wrote some other stuff, and then I wrote the end of Hell's Destiny after that. So a little sort of like, my stuff, I'm working on writing puzzles for Battle Zoo.
Nice.
For their Year of Mysteries. That's going to also continue throughout this year, one a month, but they're going to try to write a bunch of them.
2 years of mysteries?
It's essentially, it was a Year of Mysteries. It was a Year of Mysteries before the Kickstarter, but those came out weekly. And then a year after that. So it's about like a year and 2 months of mysteries, I think.
Okay.
But now the Kickstarter is out and finished. We're putting out one a month, something. So I got to work on those puzzles. Joe Pacini and I also have a undisclosed NDA non role playing game thing that we're working on that we need to do some playtesting of in the next month or two.
Nice.
So I'll let you all know about that when that happens. And then and just to sort of what's going to keep me busy, also more work related, is to keep an eye out for the next Paizo Live in February.
Okay.
It's going to be a big surprise.
Oh, good.
And involving yours truly.
Nice. Nice.
I mean, it's not a surprise to me.
You know what it is, Ron.
Oh, see, I'm always left out in the, out of the know. Man.
But that's a little tease from me to you.
Very good. Well, hopefully I'll have a little time to listen to some more. I always get the notification, oh, Pies Alive's going up. And it's like, I'm like right in the middle of something here. I got to go click on it and get it going. So, so pretty cool.
I got the best part of Paizo Live for me is watching the comments scroll down. That's whether I'm on the Paizo Live or whether I'm just watching it or when I wasn't even working at Paizo, the best part is watching the fan interaction. Yeah. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I like that. I like that part. All right. Well, that's about it for me. So I'll say for 2 months or so, we rejoin and get started again. I'm John.
What?
Yeah.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jason.
We totally bobbled the whole end. Okay. But right before our hands,
Because I was rambling along.
Okay. Come on, one more time. We got this, guys. Come on, we got this.
All right. Well, for the next couple months anyway, until we resume after our hiatus, I'm John.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jason. And this has been Digital Divination going into cryostasis.